privilege to be among you today. We're kind of low in numbers, but you know what? I come expecting a blessing. How about you?
Amen.
We'll get exactly what we come and looking for. And, you know, they that are listening over the internet, God bless you. And they that will be listening later. And, you know, I just thank the Lord. I love to be a Christian, you know, and he's so good to us, you know. And I just wish that I could live in such a way to show more of a gratitude for him, because he is so good to us, you know.
Amen.
I want to speak to you on a thought tonight: observe the ordinance of life. And if I was to put a subtitle, it would put it keep the water flowing. Observe the ordinance of life. And let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 14. She will have these on the multimedia too, so just on the go before the Lord this evening. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away with great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And aren't you so thankful for a rapture?
Amen.
You know, we can miss a lot of things, brother and sister, by rapture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you this night. I just ask you that you would help us, Lord, to catch the thought that you have given us tonight, Lord, that you would want us to receive, and help us to receive it in the way you want us to receive it, Lord. We want to approach you in the right way in this service, Lord, and acknowledging, Lord, that if you don't come, Lord, then this is just a lodge, Lord, because you are the one that gives life. You're the one that gives revelation. Lord, we ask you that you would open our eyes, Lord, and increase our faith tonight, Lord, that we can see ourselves more clearly in your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless you. You can be seated. Satan is capitalizing on taking away this certainty from people. And that's in anything. He wants you to constantly walk in doubt, walk in fret, walking where you're double-minded. And it's interesting, Brother Tony had mentioned that the other day. I've seen that too, brother.
Yes.
The Church of the Living God, we're called to walk by faith.
Amen.
You know, and to walk, we're not called to be wanderers, we're called to be led. You know, led
right.
by the Spirit. And God wants to lead his people. Now, a man or a woman that walks or works in confidence in what they're doing, they can get quite a bit accomplished because they're confident in what they're doing. So if you're baking a cake and you're confident, or making biscuits, if you're confident in what you're doing, you can do it pretty swiftly. You can make some pretty good biscuits. Whereas if you're doubting yourself, is the recipe right? Is this right? I don't know about this. And you will make mistakes, make a mess, and it may not even turn out right. Because why? Because you're not walking in confidence. You're not doing it in confidence. And if that's in the natural, it's the same thing on a job. And it's the same thing with our walk with the Lord. The devil wants to try so much to take away the confidence of the believer, of who they are, what they stand for, where they're going. He wants to put you in constant doubt and array, because if you're not doing that, you're not gaining ground and you're not walking in the full capacity of son and daughter of God. So God has called the church to be victorious. How many believes that? You know, the prophet says, now one of the first things that I'd like to mention is something that has gone from the church. One of the main things is faith. The people don't have the faith today like they had in that day. Some kind of a canker worm of some sort has got in and eat off the lifeline of faith. You know, faith is so important, because without faith you can't even please God.
That's right.
Right.
And you know, and in faith, it is by faith that you begin to manifest the attributes of being a son and daughter of God, of seeing, hey, I'm saved. By praise God, I'm healed. It's by faith. Because without faith, you don't have that. As I was saying a while ago, the devil tries so hard to get you in doubt, because if you're walking in doubt, you're walking in fear, you are no longer walking in faith. You know, and it is by faith that Abel knew the right sacrifice to build. It was by faith. It wasn't by some kind of head thought or I think this is what God would want. God showed him what he needed to do, and he did. He walked according to the faith that he had given him. And so many times people today will say, well, my faith doesn't teach that, so I don't have to do that. I don't have to dress like that. I don't have to do this. And, you know, the world has made it to a way to where you can pretty well go to pretty much any church you want to and live that fits your cup of tea. You know, we've got different kinds of teas. If you don't see teas, go to a store. There's all kinds of different teas of the same kind of tea. Peppermint tea. There's several kinds of peppermint teas. Well, church, it's gotten that same way where even in the message churches, you can pretty well get your own cup of tea. You know, what fits my taste buds, what will fit me inside there. And there is a level to that because you want to connect with the people that you serve God with. But the ultimate is there's one faith, there's one Lord, there's one baptism. Is that right? So that means there's one truth. So it should all, that should be our absolute, is taking it back to the word of showing this is what I'm tying myself. This is my tie post as my experience and my experience with the Lord. And I just want to try to build something here. In a ministry, there's a faith that's being built there, and it's to build you. We're to build faith upon faith, precept upon precept, line upon line, and we're supposed to be growing in the Word. And God has given us a message to take us back to the Word. He didn't give us a different Bible. He would be a false prophet if he did that.
Right.
He brought it to the same Bible and said, this is what we tie ourselves to. Now, catch what I'm saying. When someone begins to first start their journey coming to a church, their life might be array. There'll be things going astray because, you know what, you go to church to get better. Just like you go to the hospital to get better. You know, you don't wait till you get everything fixed and then you go to church.
Right.
No more than you wait till you get everything fixed and you start going to a hospital. You know, I'm perfectly well now. Now I'll go to a hospital.
Right.
Right? So we go to church because, hey, I need help. I need encouragement, I need healing, I need deliverance, I need these things. That's my purpose of going to church. You know, if I go to the hospital, the reason I'm going to the hospital is I've got a need. I've got an ache, I've got a pain, I've got something going on with me. Well, if I go there and nothing, it doesn't get the problem fixed, I'm going to lose confidence in the hospital. Like, that's what I'm saying. Satan will try so hard to kill the confidence of the believer of going to church because you know what? They haven't reached that healing that they wanted, that deliverance that they wanted. But let me ask you, does God still deliver?
Amen.
Amen. Does God still heal? Amen. God still does that. There were some cities that went, because you know, some of them, if I had a better preacher, I'd do it. You know what? There were some cities that Jesus went to that city and could not do one single miracle because of the people's unbelief.
That's right.
Brother and sister, Brother Tony or myself can no more heal you right here today, no more than Jesus Christ could right now, because you were healed 2,000 years ago. It was already done. It's already, the price has been paid. But you've got to claim that promise and see that promise manifested. Amen?
Amen.
So it's got to go beyond just words to a manifestation.
Right.
I don't want just words. That's what inspires me about the Bible, is it's not just words like a wooden God or a stone God, but it's a living God that still does the same things today.
Amen.
It's so important that we believe that. Because Satan will try to get us to doubt our belief. My wife got bit by, I'm going to say it's probably a spider last night. On her leg, we were sitting on the couch for just a few minutes, and we went to bed, turned the lights out, one just a few minutes. She's, hey, turn the lights on. We get the lights on, and bites up her leg. And she's like, oh my goodness, look at that. We searched it. We never could find the spider. But we got something for him. We got an antidote for him.
Man.
You know. But you know, she was in so much pain, and I was thinking about healing and how God can do that. And I said, you know what? We can pray for this. And I went to my wife and I said, you know, we're going to pray for this. And she said, it hurts, it stings. I said, we're going to pray right now. Put our hands on her and prayed for it. And just like that, the redness just, it was still like a little bitty pink, just a little bit. That is so simple, brother and sister. But how many times do we do that in our life and we don't talk about it? God's doing the miracles. A lot of problem is we don't talk about it enough. We don't testify. Hey, God's doing stuff. God's healing. That's literally a bite on a leg that was hurting really bad. Laid hands on it. Prayed. God, I ask you to touch her. No, God, I got that in prayer. And just like that, the redness. God's the same God, brother and sister. And I want to encourage you, young people, that you need to see God. And I want to try to bring this thought to you. You need to see God in the same way that your mom and daddy see him. You need to see him in the same way that your pastor sees him. Because you know what? There's times whenever they are the one that felt that beat down, or mom and daddy felt that beat down, and I needed someone to pick me up. I needed a God to save me. I needed a God to deliver me. I needed a God to put his hand down. Because you know what? It's good to know great thoughts. But you know what? I want to be able to face the challenge that's facing me today. How do I fight this giant that's in front of me? Because you know what? We've got giants. Now, I'm not saying we don't. We need to do things. But it's so important that we can also go back and observe the ordinance of the Bible and see what is it that keeps us. Because listen to me, if we don't keep ourselves, we will be got. We'll be taken off somewhere. I was telling my family today, we had lunch together. I said, you know, if I forget to lock the keys on a Jeep, it might be okay for a couple of days, a week, a month, might even go by with a year without locking the Jeep. No, we locked the Jeep. But you better lock your house, your spiritual house.
Right.
Because I'm telling you what, there is a devil that is walking around and he is looking for a loose door.
Right.
He is looking for open windows. He's looking for opportunities. He's looking for different ways that he can corrupt your life. That's what I'm saying. He's a devil that wants to corrupt your life, corrupt your marriage, corrupt your relationships. He's a devil that wants to taint your experience. There is a devil, and it's so important that we keep our mindset of remembering, hey, I have got an adversary, and it's so important that I keep myself locked up, and God shows us how to keep the devil out.
Amen.
God, in any time in scriptures, God has always given an ordinance to keep the people, to keep the life. And any time the people began to fall, it's because they stopped observing God's ordinances. God would give a delivery. God would bring, and I'm not going to get ahead of myself in some of this, but God would bring a deliverance to the people. They would cry out to God, God, deliver me. God will deliver them in a mighty way. And he'll say, observe my ordinances. Do these things. And they'll do it for just a little while. And next thing you know, their kids are so far off the base. How? There was a great deliverance that just took place. God did this. But just a couple of years down the road, they are so far off base again, God will send another deliverer. They get set free again. Praise God. Praise God. We're free. They'll serve God for a little bit. Next thing you know, just a little bit down, their kids stop serving the Lord. Is that how the scriptures have been?
Right.
Over and over and over and over. Children, grab your experience to where you know, I know where I'm standing. To the point, if my mom or my dad or my pastor falls away, I'm not falling away because I'm not tied to them.
Right.
I'm tied to God because he is my shepherd.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
He picked me up. I know his voice. Because I don't, you know, there's a, and I know I've got a long way to go. I keep feeling led to stop and talk about this. It's one thing for mom and dad to say, hey, it's time to go to church. Or husband to say, hey, it's time to go to church. Or something like that. And he said, okay, it's time to go because they said it's time to go. But you know what? It's got to go to a deeper level of understanding because you are walking with God. You're hearing God. You're hearing his voice. And you will hear the voice speak to you. And you're like, oh, I need to read my Bible. Oh, I need to pray. Oh, God gave me a thought. And you're realizing it's a fellowship with you and God, where you are walking with your shepherd, where you yourself, I know God that way. I know God in this level. I know God as my Savior. I know God as my shepherd. Amen?
Amen.
Because it's got to be a personal experience. And that's why so many people have fallen away whenever ministers have fallen off base. It's because they were tied to the minister
that's
and
right.
were not tied to the Lord.
That's right.
Brother and sister, that's why so many families have fallen away. Whenever men that were considered golden men, and I don't mean this in bashing toward them at all. They are my brothers by faith. God, help them to see. I want us all to get to the other side.
Right.
But you know, when they turn around away from the very gospel that they preached for years, and their family followed with them, because their family was tied to the man rather than the shepherd.
Right.
We need to make sure we're tied to the shepherd. So one of the things
that
cankerworm is fighting, and eating at, he's trying to eat away our faith. Faith in the believer, faith in what you stand, faith to take promises of God's word, faith to be able to believe, hey, I've got a need. Let's take this to church. Let's take this to the front, and let's have the ministry pray for this. Because you know what? It's a divine promise from this Bible. The word says that by his stripes I'm healed, that I can go to the front, they can anoint me with oil, and I can claim my healing.
Right.
And you know what? Sometimes you've got to stand there and you've got to fight for it.
Right.
You got to, sometimes you've got to come back, you know what? And you've got to keep knocking on the door. Lord, I want that healing. I claim that healing. But you know what the problem is? We want to pray one time and quit. That's it. Well, I've done my duty. No, you've got to fight for it. You know what? If you get somebody where it's a desperate situation where it's life and death, you'll find out you will fight a lot more harder because you're right. Hey, I'm fixing to die. But you know, we need to get that serious. And whenever God, I need your help. Because he is a God that we can touch with the feeling of our infirmities.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. He can be touched.
That's right.
Amen. We read this other quote. It says, "And the faith of the saints was not in the creeds, not in denominations, not in church buildings, not in associations, but it was in the presence of the living God. They had faith to heal the sick, cast out devils, do miracles. All the great promises that Jesus made, the first church held on to that. It was the lifeline." Listen here. Listen close to what I want to tell you. The ever-presence of the living God is the lifeline of the church or any bunch of people. The ever-presence of the living God to perform and to do and to act and to live with the people as he did at the beginning. In the presence of the living God brought a Pentecost with power, with signs, with wonders, brought a people so full of the glory of God till they shouted, spoke with languages, went in martyrs for the faith. Let's earnestly contend for that faith until death shall set us free. Earnestly contend for it. We will not compromise upon reading books, taking some man theology. We will not compromise upon some creeds or some prayer books or something somebody else said. And I want to say this too. We are not going to compromise with just quotes on a book.
Right.
Of somebody else receiving their healing. Somebody else doing that. Because you know what? That's what we've been doing for a lot of years, brother and sister. Holding quotes of saying that's what they're doing. God, I want this God that did this in my life. I want the God of this Bible in my life. I want the God of power. He is a God. How many believe he's a, say God of power. He's a God that heals. He's a God that delivers. He's a God that fills with the Holy Ghost. You know what? He's a God that will help your old man die. Because you know what? So many times, that's what a lot of people struggle with, is the old man has never really died. But you know what? We got to die daily, brother and sister.
Amen.
Daily, we got to kill that old man and put him back in the ground and bring ourselves back to this word. Amen. Because I do not want to find myself compromising and saying, you know what, I'm a message believer because I got the books and I say I believe the books. I need the God that inspired those quotes to be dwelling in my heart, living with me, living in our people, because the ever presence of God among the people, that is the lifeline.
Amen.
And if we ever get to a point, brother and sister, in our church, in our homes, in anything, if we get to a point and we do not have that ever presence of God among us, we are dead. He's the lifeline, brother and sister. That's what the message was for, was to show us this is the presence of God. You know what? The churches for many years, they didn't have the miracles of seeing God, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. A God of a living book. That's what it was for, is to say this is the presence of God. We need to be able to see where that presence of God is in our life. Amen? That's right. We desire the literal life of Christ in action in our life. And you know, we cannot get painted by warmed by a painted fire. The Bible says, if Christ is in the vine and the life of Christ is in that person, it'll be like Jesus. It'll bear the fruits of him. It's the Spirit. It can't do nothing else but do it. It's got to produce that life because it's the same life You just can't produce anything else. It'll act like him. It'll talk like him. It'll walk like him. It'll heal like him. It'll see visions like him. It'll produce exactly his life perfectly every time because it's his life. Catch this. You're just a shell. A man is just like a water pipe. He's not the water. He's just the pipe. Take the water out of him, he will rust. Well, that's what's the matter today. There's too many of us rusting that once had an experience. Keep the water flowing. That's what keeps the lifeline going. Brother and sister, we need that water flowing through our life of experience of God. Because listen to me, if you don't have the flowing of the Holy Spirit going through your life, brother, on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis, yearly basis, if you don't, you're going to rust out. You're going to become stagnant. You're going to become nothing like a little cistern. And whenever you get that stagnation, you're going to be an environment for things that don't, that will not dwell in sin moving water. So you're going to have wiggle tails. You're going to have turtles. You're going to have snakes. You're going to have all these things creeping into your life. Why? Because they are attracted to the life and the environment that you have around you.
That's right.
But you know what? If you got that moving water going through, they cannot stay there. Amen. You can take hogs. You can have a spring of water. There's nothing as pure as spring water. Spring water can be coming down off the mountain, but you know what? You let hogs be inside that water, they'll be trembling. That will be filthy water. Why? Because you've got hogs inside that water chomping it up all the time. But you get rid of the hogs, the spring will clean itself. And that's the way it is with God, brother and sister. We got to get the hogs out.
Amen.
Number one, you got to get the hog nature out of you.
Amen.
Because the hog nature will inside you, will take you back to the world every single time, just like nature, because that's what it is.
Right.
You got to die to yourself and that Holy Ghost come inside you and you'll live a new life. Why? Because it's the life inside you that lives the life that you live.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing, you got to get that hog nature out of you. But then even after you've been born again, you can still allow hogs to dirty up your water. Stinky thinking all the time will muddy up your water. You allow negativity around you all the time. It'll muddy the water. You allow things that welcome spirits of the world into your life. It will muddy the water and you're doing it to yourself. Could you imagine the insanity of seeing a man having a spring of water that's so pure coming from the mountain, and he's calling hogs. He's not just allowing them. He's calling them. Come here, hogs. Come over here. Get in this water. Come on over here. Get in here. And trample up that water, making it so muddy and so filthy. You don't want to drink out of it. It's so nasty. But that's exactly what people do whenever you do things, whenever the prophet and the ministry is showing you, get these things out of your life. And you keep allowing those things in. What are you doing? You're calling hogs to a perfectly clean water. Because God did his job. God cleaned you. You say, God cleaned my heart. He's a God that honors his word. When you say, God forgive me, I don't want to do those things. God forgives you. He is a God of his word. When you say, God, clean my heart, he's a God of his word. But you know what? It's up to us to keep it clean, and we do that by keeping God's ordinances.
Right.
And his ordinances is his word.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother and sister, we are responsible for keeping our water clean around us. God will keep sin in the water, but we got to keep the trash out. That keeps trying to come inside there. Because listen to me, I want to say this again. There's many times people will welcome them stinking devils into their life, and then they don't even realize it.
That's right.
Could you imagine a man calling hogs to his water every day and don't even realize, hey, you're literally calling hogs to your clean water? Time to start shooting some hogs.
Right.
Amen. And brother and sister, the spring will clean itself. And that's what I'm saying. The Holy Ghost inside you will clean you automatically.
Amen.
You just start getting that garbage out and start letting that blood of the Holy Spirit, that water, start flowing. Let that water start pumping through your veins. And you start getting that trash out of you. You know, whenever you get a baby, it's so terrible. You'll see babies that their mamas have pumped them up with drugs and everything else because they did it during the pregnancy. So, no, they'll have to give IVs and stuff like that to push, what they do, pushing that water, trying to get that garbage out of that poor baby. You know what? It's a terrible thing to see someone do that. You know what? What it is, you're trying to purify with water. You're trying, and the different things you're doing, and it's such a terrible thing. It's so terrible to see that in the natural. It's even more terrible, brother and sister, to see parents doing that to your kids spiritually. Pumping them full of garbage.
That's right.
Garbage.
Right.
You look at somebody else pumping their kid with drugs and say, you know what, that's a terrible person. Look what they're doing because they're pumping the drugs inside that poor little baby. But you know what? That baby in the natural, he'll die a natural death, but there's a spiritual death. And there's so many parents, they're just pumping that garbage right into your kids. They don't even realize that you're killing your own kids. God forgive us. So many spouses are pumping that garbage right into your spouse. You look at a man that would take a beautiful young lady, beautiful. He'll get that lady and get her hooked on dope or something like that. And you know what? She will go from that beautiful, beautiful lady to some lady that is fighting for her next dose of drugs. She's hooked on drugs.
Right.
And you know what? There's so many times people don't even realize that you're getting your own spouse hooked on a stinking devil. That's the worst drug there is. It's a devil. Because you know what? When you get hooked on that drug, you'll get to the point where you've got to do whatever you've got to do to get your next fix. You've got to get it. You've got to go do this. You've got to get to the next one. You've got to get to the next one. It's something inside you that's just calling out for it. It's a spirit. Same way the Holy Ghost gets inside of you. You've got to get your next fix to the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Let's get hooked on the right thing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want to be. God help me to be a better daddy. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Help me to be a better husband. Help me to be a better wife. Help me to be a better sister. Help me to be a better brother. Help me to be a better influence. I'm gonna use a story just real quick. But Brother Tony used several years ago. He told me about it, and I've used it many times. Talked about it. I think you heard it like a Baldor story. Talked about when they go to this plane, and you got to wind the front of the plane up before you get inside the plane. Well, this guy had a little brother that began to go fly with him, and he would always go wind his front of his train, the blade on the train, the propeller. He'd wind it up. Well, the older brother, wind it up. Little brother, wind it up. Time after time. After a little while, the older brother said, you know what, it's not necessary. I'm not going to mess about it. I'm not going to mess with it this time. Gets up inside the plane, drives off. Perfectly fine. Little brother sees it. Little brother sees, hey, big brother just did that. It must be fine. So guess what he does? He don't wind his plane. And this time, the little brother goes up in the air. Guess what happens? The plane stalls out, and he dies. It was a safety tip that he was looking at his older brother for guidance, and his older brother was leading straight and did not even realize. Do you think that brother did that with evil intent of saying, you know what, I'm going to kill my little brother? Of course not. He loves his brother. But he thought it's no big deal. Let me say it this way. You shall not surely die.
Right.
You shall not surely die. Yeah. It don't matter if we do this. It's okay. You shall not surely die. Listen, he's the same stinking devil. You shall not surely die. It don't matter. You can do this. You can do that. You can do this. You don't have to do this. It don't matter. God's a God of love. God cares about you. God, you shall not surely die. And little by little by little, that devil will get you to corrupt yourself.
Right.
Oh, God, help us. Help us. I'll be wanting to be around me to where it's a clean water. So when someone comes to me, they get a drink of fresh water. Amen. And when I praise these things, I'm not saying you be like Brother Daniel. I'm saying that's the word. Let's be that. Let's fresh to that. The things that we allow into our lives can muddy up the waters. 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. He says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Ain't that something? We can assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Amen.
We must have confidence. If you are walking in doubt in your heart, you cannot walk in faith. You can't do it because you feel guilty. But you know what? When you get that out, say, Lord, I don't want to feel guilty. I want to lay this all before you, God. I need a fresh cleansing, God. You lay that out before God. God's an understanding God. If you will come according to his principles, according to his ordinances, God is ready to claim you. God is ready to make the way. But we must come his way. Because if we hold our things into our life, well, we know it's not right. We can't have faith. Amen. Because we're dirtying up. Stinky thinking, hog nature, welcoming bad spirits, and grieving the Holy Spirit. Brother and sister, we got to be careful that we are not grieving the Holy Spirit, because he is a gentle dove. He wants to be with us, but he will not stick around nonsense. He's a gentle dove, and I want to say this so clearly. God wants to be in your life. God wants to bless your life. God wants to give you peace in your heart, peace in your home. God wants to give you peace in your position in this life. Think of it. God wants to give you the peace in your position. What does it mean to have peace in your position? It's because whenever you have peace in your position, you can walk in confidence.
Amen.
God wants you to walk in confidence as a son and daughter of God. For you know, I know I'm cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. The devil can try to yap at me all he wants to, but I know I'm cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I know I am. Amen. There will not be peace when the Spirit of God has been grieved. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, you can try all you want to, but until you make it right, whatever has grieved the Holy Spirit, there will never be peace in the home. Brother and sister, we need peace. Amen. We're going to read that scripture again from the beginning of the service, 2 Peter 3:14. It says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot. Lord, find me in peace. I want to be in peace. Amen.
Amen.
In peace with God. There's nothing like sleeping better whenever you're walking with peace with God.
Amen.
And listen to me. There's nothing like trying to sleep whenever you know in your heart you are wrong with God.
Mm-hmm.
You will not sleep well. The way of the transgressor is hard. Amen?
That's
true.
Right.
The next thing Satan will go to eating away is brotherly love. And I just want to read a scripture, take John 13:35. It says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one for another." Romans 12:10-12 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation." That's a hard one. "Continuing instant in prayer." Looked up that word preferring. And for preferring one another, and I don't know how to even say it, even though it's got to pronounce for me, the word is pro-e-ge-o-me-hi. It's a long one. What it means is to lead the way for others. It's to show deference. And the word deference means to be humble, submission, and respect. And an example of that is he addressed her with the deference due to age. Let us live a life, as brother and sister, we are leading people. We are leading people, brother and sister. We are influencing people. Be the godly influence that they need. Because you know what? We are written epistles read of all men. You are the only Bible a lot of people will ever see. Hold your light up high. Don't take this service as a bashing. Take it as a, Lord, help me. If there's something wrong, Lord, help me. Because Brother Daniel is trying to get to the same place. I'm striving for the same thing. And listen to me. We've got an adversary that's after us. He's fighting every angle. But listen, if we will abide by these ordinances, we have safety. There is refuge. And that devil cannot take anything from you unless God allows it. Stand your ground. If you get knocked down, get back up. And start marching again. Stand back up to your feet. Say, you know what? I'm a son of God. You know what? There's many people that used to be alcoholics that's hearing my voice. Used to be. Not anymore. Many people used to be cigarette smokers. Used to be. Not anymore.
Right.
Used to be a lot of people that did a lot of drugs, doing drugs, all kinds of things. Not anymore. Used to be. Used to be those things. But you're not that anymore. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You are just
worship my King because he deserves it.
Amen.
Now, I may have made a mistake. I may have fell flat on my face, but you know what? He deserves my worship.
Amen.
That little girl, though, waved her flag. You know the story? She was upset because the King didn't see her. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You wave your flag to the King because he sees it. Whenever, from the honesty from your heart, you say, God, I want to serve you right. I want to do it the right way. I'm sorry, God. I don't want to muddy up the waters, God. I want to walk in a pure water of your word, God. Help me, Lord. When you wave that flag, God sees the flag. And let me here to tell you, there's angels all around you that are saying, praise God, that's it. That's it. Amen. Bring the believers all down the ages. When they see you, they say, get back up, soldier. Stand up to your feet. Start marching again. They're all saying, that's right. Get up. Press the battle. Press the battle.
Amen.
Amen. I don't mean to get excited, but I believe it.
Amen.
I believe the angels are excited for you. Every time they see you, whenever you fall down and they see you stand back up, I believe that all the angels are clapping their hands. That's right. Get up. Get up. That's right. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Stand up. That's right. And you may fall flat on your face again. Guess what? When you stand up and you say, God, forgive me, it's the first time that all the angels in heaven are saying, that's right. Stand up. Press this battle.
Amen.
Amen. I believe God. I believe God wants to do great things in our life, in this church, in our families. God wants us to do it. But you know, we need to get a momentum of faith around us. And we're the one that creates that environment.
Amen.
We are amateur gods. We can create that environment. We're little Messiahettes.
Right.
We have creative authority inside our hearts. We can speak that word. Whenever something comes, when sickness comes, we don't have to wait. We can lay hands on the sick. You can do it.
Right.
These signs you follow them to believe. When you lay your hands on the sick, listen to me. Your lifeline is the ever presence of God in your midst. That's the lifeline. Let's keep that water flowing.
Amen.
I'm not talking about walking by just enthusiasm. I'm talking about walking by faith. You believe in what you're doing. Imagine a husband and wife that's newlyweds. They love one another. Oh, they're just walking in enthusiasm. No, they're walking in love. You say amen? And you look at a son of God that's happy, that's bubbling. He's walking in love. Don't be in front of my love, all right? Help me become more loving. Brother Tony said, you know what, somebody else, you might not have the faith, but I'm not going to get in the way of somebody else that's got it. I feel the same way about you, brother and sister, because we are a team. We are a family.
Amen.
It's even beyond team. We are a family.
That's right.
Amen. And we got a common goal. We're going to the rapture.
Amen.
Amen. Good grief. Clock keeps moving. I won't go through all this. I'm going to get just a little bit, okay? The prophet taught us to treat every service like cherry pie. We're talking about brotherly kindness still, okay? Satan is trying to fight brotherly kindness. The prophet taught us that when you treat service like eating cherry pie, you hear something that you don't agree with, spit the seed out, and keep eating pie.
Amen.
You know what? Because you know, there's a lot of times that devil will try to get you, he will try to anoint your mind to look for something that you don't agree with. And he'll shut the rest of the service off, and you won't hear nothing from that service because the only thing you're thinking about is what you don't agree with. And then most of the time, then you'll go back with the word with the right mental attitude and look at what, listen to what was said. Like, well, I heard that completely wrong. Yeah, you heard it wrong. And then you completely missed the entire service.
Right.
The brother and sister, it's an attitude is so important that we humble ourselves before God. Because you know, every minister standing by on a pulpit, if he's doing it the right way, he has not come up there some kind of arrogant something. He is laboring before God saying, God, what am I supposed to speak? Lord, help me. Lord, show me what to do. And he's waiting for that breeze to come by. 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 2 is 4. And once he hears that, it's awesome. Then you can, well, there's sometimes you don't ever hear that. Ministers walking by faith. And that's why as a family, as a team, the congregation operates that gift. And you can pull on that gift of that man. And you can pull things out of him that he didn't even know what he was going to reach. Amen. That's right. Brotherly love. And you know what? Let's guess what I'm saying. If we're to spit seeds out of something out of that, how about our fellowship? When you're having fellowship with somebody and you hear something, hey, I don't agree with that, spit the seed out and keep eating pie.
Amen.
Could you imagine my wife going through the labor of cooking fried chicken and you come up to a bone and throw the whole chicken out? I ain't going to eat none of that. There was a lot of labor put in that. That chicken. Malachi had to go to the restroom, but I bet he probably said, amen. Boy loves chicken.
But you know what? In our fellowship, whenever you're having fellowship and you hear something that, hey, I don't agree with that, spit it out and go on fellowshipping.
Amen.
Have a good time. Be a good influence. You know, if someone's being negative, be positive.
Amen.
That's right. If someone starts talking about something they shouldn't talk about something that's right. Pull it back. Do you know whoever asks questions leads the conversation? You ever want to change the conversation? Here's your sales tip. Give away some secrets. Whoever asks the questions leads the conversation. So if you ever have somebody that's going down the wrong conversation, going down something, ask a question that you already know the answer to, leading to the right thing.
Amen.
Ain't that brother an awesome brother? Yeah, he is an awesome brother. Change that subject. Ain't that sister, you start hearing them talking about this sister, that and change the subject. Ain't that an awesome sister before she gets your sake? She sure can change the subject. Because you're leading the conversation.
Amen.
You know what? We should never allow somebody to tear down anybody.
That's right.
But especially our own family. Yep. It would break my heart if I was to walk into a house. I have no idea why I'm going here. I'm just preaching, okay? It would shatter my heart if I was to walk into a house unexpectedly and to my brothers, and then I walked in and heard you talking bad about me. That brother Daniel, he's just a terrible person. No, he does this. He's just a know-it-all. He just does that. It would shatter my heart. What do you think it does to your brothers and sisters? It's everyone the same way. We got feelings.
Right.
And we're fighting to get that other place, trying to do everything we can to get to that other place. Because you know what? When we get there, our brother, sister, we get to that big table. We got that food laid out. And the battle's over. We're going to be able to look at one another. And we're going to, we ain't going to think about nothing that was wrong. Nothing was dead. We're going to look at each other. You know what we're going to say? We made it.
Amen.
Yeah.
There were many times we thought our ship was going to sink, but we made it.
Amen.
Because he did it.
Brother
and sister, we need to have that mentality. I'm going to make it.
Amen.
I'm going to fight. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to get up. I'm going to say, God, forgive me for muddying the waters. Help me, God, right here, right now, to fight my ground. Help me to hold my ground. Because you know what? My brothers and sisters are dependent on me to do my job. Because if I'm not doing my job, somebody else has got to pick up the load. Help me to do better, God. Help me to be a better soldier. Help me to be a better prayer warrior. Help me to be a better singer. When I'm singing the Lord, I'll sing with all my heart. And if I've got a gift in my life to do something for the Lord, help me to do it with fervency and in the spirit. If I'm a doorman of the church, help me to do that. Be prayed up so every person I shake their hand, God bless you, and have such an anointing in my life that I'll shock them with the Holy Ghost burst of flame. Amen?
Amen.
My first job in the church, the doorman of the church, and I'd fast before church. I would fast because I wanted to be every person I shook their hand. I wanted them to feel the presence of God. If I can do that at that job, what about every other position?
Right.
Help me, Lord, be more fervent. Amen.
Amen.
I keep saying this. I'm in the worst preacher. And just 5 minutes. Couple minutes. Just a couple more minutes, okay? The enemy will try to break up fellowship. And God has always given an ordinance. And this is the long scripture here, but it's the PowerPoint of what I'm trying to get to, okay? Exodus chapter 13, verses 10 through 18. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of the beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children thou shalt redeem. And it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? Thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it come to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man, the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And that shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for the frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out forth of Egypt. Remember, this is the lifeline of the presence of the Lord. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, and God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness, the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. This is our last quote. Everybody's always looking at their self. Why? You can't look at yourself and get anywhere. You are finished to begin with. You're a failure to start with. There's nothing to you to begin with. It's what God made you is what you are. Under the old covenant, what if a little mule would be born out in the pasture some night? And when that little mule was born, he'd turn around and his mammy would look at him and his ears would be flopped down. You know what a flopped-eared mule is? Being a farmer, that mule's no good. And he's cross-eyed. His knees are all knocked together. His tail sticks straight up in the air. Well, he's the horriblest looking sight you ever seen. That little fella could look around to his mommy and say, well, I won't be able to live. No, sir. Because as soon as the master comes out here, he will knock me in the head because I ain't worth nothing. That's just about like every one of us. But his mother, well instructed in the word of God, she'd say, wait a minute, honey. No. You were born under a birthright. When the man of the house comes out, he will go to the pasture and hunt the most perfect lamb that he's got. The high priest will never see you. He will see the lamb. He won't examine you. He will examine the lamb because you are born under a birthright. The lamb has to die for you. Now you look at Jesus and find any fault in him. Don't look at yourself. Look at him. Don't look at who you are. Look who he is.
Amen.
Then you'll be getting close to divine healing. Search your sacrifice over. If you can find any fault in that, well, that's different. Then you have a right to disbelieve. But there's no fault in him. God don't look at you. He looks at the sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, it don't matter what kind of... You say, Brother Daniel, I was wrong here. I was wrong here. I was wrong here. I want to take you back to this scripture we just read. Back to this word here. There is a God that provided a lamb, and God don't even look at you. He's looked at that sacrifice. And if you need healing, you say, I ain't got faith. That's okay. Look at him.
Amen.
You need deliverance. I don't have faith. That's all right. Look at him. And God's the one responsible. He is your shepherd. And he's responsible to provide your needs. You say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to start right there. I promise. Let's all stand. He is our shepherd, brother and sister. I want to plead with you from the depths of my heart. Let's observe these ordinances.
Amen.
Of saying, you know what? I am saved by the blood of the Lamb, not my works. It helps you walk home, brother and sister. Amen. And Brother Tony, come, let's just bow our heads. Anybody needs prayer, just lift up your hand to the Lord and see your hands. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight and we want to thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight and to be among friends, Lord. And Lord, there are no big eyes here. Lord, it's only you. You are our great captain. You are our conqueror, Lord. And Lord, we're looking to you because we need you, Lord. Lord, we need you as our physician. We need you as our healer, Lord. We don't ever want it to be that you would walk past this city because you couldn't find faith, Lord. But Lord God, I ask you that you would help us, Lord. All that Satan's tried to rob from us, Lord, restore, Father. Lord, restore our brotherly love, Lord. Restore our faith, God. Lord, restore unity, Lord, where Satan would try to bring it, Lord. Lord God, I ask you to let that cleansing Holy Ghost to purify the muddy waters that many times we even make the circumstances ourselves. Oh God, I call on the holy name of Jesus Christ tonight. I ask you, Lord, walk the aisles, Lord. Go to every home, every person that will be listening to the sound of my voice now or the days to come. Father, I ask you, Lord, shatter the chains tonight, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you for total deliverance, Lord. Lord, as I've testified tonight, Lord, we ask you to forgive us. It's done because you are a God of your word. Lord, I ask you, Lord Jesus, send that purifying Holy Ghost into our hearts, Lord. Restore the joy of our salvation, yeah. Oh God. Oh God, restore our faith in your word, Lord Jesus. Restore our brotherly love, Lord God. A divine love around us, Lord. We create that atmosphere around us, oh God. I ask you, Lord Jesus, for a revival in our hearts. Revival in my love for you, Lord. Oh God, be God. We love you in Jesus' name.
Imagine someone who's a wanderer, has no place to call home, no place. That sounds terrible. To not have a place that you can call home and that you can be in safety and around friends and family. You look out here and you see all these homeless people that you run into, and every one of those people have a story. There's a story about why they're there. And so many times it's because of decisions they make that They everyone had mommies, daddies, right? And so they make decisions, and that's what Satan wants us to do, make bad decisions. We all have things that come with our trials and hard things that come, but so many people make the wrong decisions in those trials, and they wind up as wanderers. Amen. God doesn't want us to be that way. Brother Daniel mentioned about Abel, and I just, this thought came to me while he was saying that, but, you know, by faith. We serve God by faith. Abel, by faith, offered a sacrifice that was contrary to intellect.
Yep.
Think about it. Everything in our life, there are things that comes along, and there's you know, we can reason. Well, here's, you know, just reason. Here's the way it should be, and reason always is always contrary to faith. But by faith, we serve God contrary to reason. It's your faith that allows you to do that. It causes you to do that.
Yeah.
Amen. And so we want to have faith to overcome all things.
Yeah.
Christians are happy to walk in God's ordinances.
Right.
Amen. You're happy to come to church. You know, the prophet said that, but it's not just because he said it. It's true that you want to be in the house of God when the doors are open.
Amen.
Amen. And so I remember Brother Daniel saying that here a while back, that nobody had to tell him to do that. And I remember the same thing. Nobody had to tell me. Well, in church, I better go. I wanted to go.
Yeah.
My wife would tell you, when I give my heart to the Lord, the church I was going to, which happened to be here, I mean, pretty quickly after about a month or so, was here in this building, and they had service Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and, right? And I went to all of them, right?
Yes.
I went to all of them because that's just, I wanted to be in church. And so, we just want to serve God, and we're happy to walk in His ordinances. We want to please Him.
Amen.
Amen. And so, as Brother Daniel's saying, keep that water flowing.
Yes.
We're happy to do that.
Amen.
Amen. Because when the water's not flowing, it's stagnant. You've heard me say many times that when I was growing up, and everybody knows I don't know how to swim very well, just barely. But I did like to go get in the creek. And it'd be summertime when we'd want to go swim in the creek. And it was a hole of water that I could stand up in. No big deal. But Grandma, you know, in the summertime, she said, no, you can't go because it's dog days. What she called dog days. Well, I don't know what dogs have to do with it, okay? But she never told me what that meant. Or maybe if she did, I didn't pay attention. But as I got older, I understood that in dog days, when there's no rain and the water's no longer flowing, and the water becomes stagnant in the pools there, and it gets this film on the top of the water. There's little bacteria and things like that. And, you know, us as kids, we always had scratches on our legs or our body, you know, from playing. And she wouldn't let us go swim because we might pick up an infection out of there because that water was not pure. The problem was the water was not flowing. When you have that water flowing, those things can't congregate there. When you keep the water flowing in your life, like Brother Nan was talking about tonight, when you keep the Holy Spirit flowing in your life, these things that are contrary, they're not welcome there. They can't stay there because you keep them washed out.
Amen.
Right? Very good thought. Amen. And so, just, you know, hope that everybody takes that home with them really well. And so, when you know where you stand, you don't have to get aggravated. You don't have to be mad. You don't have to be scared. When you know right where you stand, you know where you stand with God.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about when things coming that's contrary. Amen. Because you know who you are.
Amen.
Amen. So we really appreciate the thing Brother Daniel shared with us tonight. Amen. We'll just sing a little bit of a song and we'll let you be dismissed. We'll sing I Love Him. Amen. Do you love Him?
Amen.
You know, the scripture says if you have a love for the world, for the things of the world, the love of God is not in you. If you have God's love in you, it pushes those things out. Amen. So we love Him. And we love Him because He first loved us.
Amen.
Oh, I love you. Thank you.